Oh God, these two are back again. In this episode, we have... The maniac doctor is back again to diagnose Matt's dream.
In his own words, you know, the Coke's half empty. The better brand, Coca-Cola, is half empty.
Rob has a theory about Borderlands and cinema.
Which of those three probably doesn't make sense to be a TV show?
Well, the thing is, it's obviously Twisted Metal. But Twisted Metal, I think they've just taken the IP.
Exactly.
It's not really I don't remember there being a story when I played Twisted Metal.
Tom's quiz has serious effects on Rob.
Oh my God, you're being part of the problem here. You're being so horrible, and they're saying that they're hitting out against the horrible people.
Summer holidays. What are your fondest memories? Rob and Tom share theirs.
But in our house and at your age, there should be no heavy petting.
I love that phrase.
And we're just sat there going, we'll just go fucking afield. See ya.
Let's get on with it, shall we?
Welcome back to the Variety Show podcast. Welcome to everyone, new and old. Rob, how on earth are you doing, sir?
I'm right. Feeling low energy. I want to build us up. Should I build us up?
You can build us up a little bit.
I was inspired by your space stuff recently. We'll do a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off, it's podcast time! More energy, let's try and get some energy.
Oh God, we need energy.
You've got a Monster, and I've got it's sugar-free Coke, but...
It's still got caffeine in it, that's what matters.
Still caffeine in it, yeah. Bring on the headaches.
Oh God. No, it's been a really good week, actually. Just back from holiday, that was on last week. Really fun time away, and that's why we're talking about summer holiday stuff later. This week's just been hectic with work and catching up on everything I've missed.
Yeah.
Then there was the heat, which is to be murder. But yeah, no, you're right. Talking about all the space stuff, I've been out in the middle of the field every night I can do with my new telescope, capturing pictures of faraway galaxies, and just been absolutely geeking it up to the max. I love it.
They've been super cool too.
It is so, so cool. And yeah, I'm just bragging rights, really. It's really cool. If you like space stuff, check out the YouTube channel. You can see my review of the ZWO C-Star S50. You'll probably end up wanting to go and buy one, because so far, Rob now wants to buy one.
Yeah.
Karen wants to buy one.
Yeah.
Karen's dad wants to buy one.
Yeah.
And the 800 odd other viewers of the video apparently want to buy one. So, jobs are good.
Yeah.
Anything else new, though? Anything else cool? Anything film-wise you've watched or telly-wise?
I daren't say what I've been watching.
Is it Supernatural?
Supernatural?
Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? No, I started watching Demolition Man earlier.
Demolition Man, what a film.
Yeah, so 1996, I think it says, or 93. I forgot the year in it that it says that it's set in at the beginning.
Oh, right. Yeah,
in San Francisco, wherever it was.
I can look that up for you while you talk.
Because I've literally only got to the bit where he's still in the helicopter right at the beginning.
Okay, yeah.
Literally a few
minutes. And he gets given the order that he doesn't want to follow.
Yeah. So that's literally as far as I've got. And I remember watching it as a kid thinking, oh, that's not very far. Like that's like now, and then 20 something when the actual stuff happens, I'm like, oh. And I always used to remember thinking how old I'll be at that time in 20 whatever, and then I was like, oh my God, I'm really there.
So you're pretty good with the dates. It was released in 1993.
Yeah.
The first issue that we see the helicopter scene is 1996,
yes,
where Simon Phoenix kidnaps hostages, leading to a confrontation with John Spartan. And then we fast forward all the way to 2032.
Yeah, I'm sure I remember as a kid trying to figure out what age I'd be in 2032 for what age I'd be when all that futuristic
stuff
was.
So that's 8 years' time. So I'll be 48. Then in 8 more years, Taco Bell will have won the fast food wars.
Well, we've got them in this country now.
We have, exactly. This is the problem. They're starting to build up their army.
We've probably already got cars which would fill with foam when they crash. I can imagine that thing exists.
Yes.
Already. We have things that can tell you for swearing. They aren't a rat. You don't have them on the wall.
Autonomous driving vehicles, yeah.
We still use toilet roll.
Yeah, we're not using the 3 seashells yet.
But I bet people do have sex on VR.
Oh, 100% they do. I've seen what's available on the Quest 3.
So, yeah, it's just the 3 seashells. That's all we're at. And then we're there.
They're coming.
And freezing,
they're coming.
I guess freezing criminals.
Well, cryogenics exist. You can't thaw anyone, but it exists.
Is that a problem?
Not necessarily. <Yeah. laughs> It depends on what you believe in.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm glad to have you back, mate. And I'm just trying to think if I've seen anything new, really. Not really much this week, but tomorrow I am seeing Alien Romulus at the cinema.
Nice.
Which we can talk about later.
Ridley Scott, I saw an interview with Ridley Scott earlier.
Ooh.
Talking about it, actually. And it's good to have you back. You're the one that went away.
I am the one that went away. I know you went away last time, but it was my turn to go away.
Yeah.
It was worth it. Really, really worth it. Great family little holiday. I'm not going to say where we went, but suffice to say, everyone had fun.
Yeah.
It was good. Except for the 4-hour drive, because I hate the fucking M25.
Hang on, mate. Before we get started, I just need to go for a quick whiz.
Yeah, well, you know where it is, mate. Hey, mate, watch out for that port. No. Oh, shit. He's gone again.
Rob has been sucked off again. Let's join him in the deep, dank laboratory of Dr. Phantasm.
Oh, fuck off. Not this again.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to have you back.
By choice? You know, it's probably against the law to open up portals below people's feet, you know.
Yes, we have fun, don't we? Yes.
Watch your fucking self if you think about suing.
Wait, hang on. You did this last time. Why'd your accent change?
Oh, come with me. Ignore that. Yeah. No problem here.
Being here's a fucking problem, mate. I just want to go home.
No. Now come here or I'll do something you regret.
Where's Bertha gone?
Ah, Bertha, she was such a lovely machine.
But a shite.
She was lovely, but alas, she couldn't do my dream. Perfect dream diagnosis.
There is a crime happening. Why am I chained here?
What was that? What you got under that cover?
Oh, yeah, this is my new machine. It cuts your Omnicore. Say hello to her Robo-Dreamer.
Robo-Dreamer. That's Robocop, mate.
Shut it, you muppet. We aren't licensed for that name.
No. This is Robo-Dreamer. He donated himself to my dream project.
Sure he did.
Now, look, let me program this dream into him. Matt from A Pint of Cthulhu has a... He's submitted one for me to diagnose.
One for your dream segment. First dream I've had in a long time. It starts in a different country by the sea, so a sea town. Boats are at docks with a large cruise ship not too far out. We'd been on the cruise ship and stop at this location. There was an old-timey looking shop that sold all those weird wooden knickknacks and chocolate. Out the front of the shop, it also sold Coke and Pepsi, but all the Coke bottles were half empty. If I remember it right, the guy inside the shop was a bit of a dickhead, I can't remember why. Enjoy, lads. I think this came from a fair amount of alcohol.
I am a police officer. There will be trouble.
Stop it or I'll leave you like that scene in the second film. Get it?
Yes. Please no. Please not that. I will comply.
Okay, Robocop. I'm Dreamer. Robo-Dreamer. What does it mean?
The shopkeeper being a dickhead is pent-up aggression towards Woolworth's employees who once ID'd him buying pick and mix. The empty Coke bottles signify a struggle with addiction, in particular to phosphoric acid. His brain is also telling him that Pepsi is shit thanks to the recent changes in recipe caused by the unjust sugar tax. Cruise ships often tell us that the person wants to sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me. Reflections in the waves spark my memory. Some happy, some sad. I think of childhood friends and the dreams we had.
Here we go again. Yes, I think this is the right diagnosis and interpretation of the dream. Rob, why don't you tell me, what do you think?
It's pretty obvious to me, really. I mean, the seaside town is represents his... It's all about his childhood, specifically his childhood when he's going on holidays to, you know, the rundown seaside towns in the UK. You know, the cruise ship is in the distance, is representing his resentment to the people that get to go on the big, budget, flashy holidays, which he was never able to do. You know, the old-time shop is continuing the theme, rundown, rubbish stuff inside, you know, rubbishy fake chocolate, And then the Coke and Pepsi's, well, it's obvious. It's his unconscious mind is telling Matt in his own words, you know, the Coke's half empty. The better brand, Coca-Cola, is half empty. It's not all there. It's not fulfilling. And that's how he would feel, really, if he was on the flashy holiday. It's not the same. Whereas the Pepsi, which I think is the lesser brand, is the holiday he's on, the technically lesser holiday. It isn't, in fact, lesser in any way. It's time with his family that counts, and the shopkeeper is a representation of his adult mind loathing his younger self for not appreciating what a wonderful time he really had back then.
No! Why can I not get this right? Every time you spit on my soul and you ruin my dream. Why?
Bloody hell, mate. All right, okay. The Robo Dream was right, whatever.
No, it does not work like that. Fuck off. I need to work. Leave me.
What if I could, mate? Portal?
I'll give you a portal. Come here, sunshine.
Cool, Ryan. So rough.
Get your overpriced popcorn, testicle-enriched hot dogs, and rat milk ice cream ready. The boys are talking cinema.
Oh, here he comes. Took your time, didn't you?
You do not want to go in there. That the portal, not the toilet. I never made it. It's a fucking shithole in there. He's got bloody Robocop in there this time.
Robocop? Good one or the bad one?
The good one.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Anyway, I think this one's for you, isn't it? What's happening to cinema? I think that's your topic. Take it away.
Oh, yeah. So I messaged you, didn't I?
You did.
And it was about Borderlands specifically. And it was an interview with the director or the producer or something. And they were saying they wanted people to give Borderlands a chance because they thought it was actually a really good film. Excuse me, sorry.
It's normally me, but yeah. I think it's Rob this time.
It turns out, actually, it's a really bad film. But that's all come out after I messaged you.
Yeah, and it started with the 0% on Rotten Tomato, and I think it's hovering around 3% now.
Yeah, I remember I said to you a lot, I felt sorry for him because this actually could be a good film. But the big mistake they've been made really is cinemas are so expensive now. And if you're not really, really into it like you and I are, I don't go at the moment, but like you, I had the card to go all the time. If you don't have one of those cards, it can be very expensive for two people to go. So you probably, I reckon, see one film a month. And you're releasing a film targeting the same audience as Deadpool versus Wolverine.
100%. And there's a few other films that are going to pretty much trump Borderlands.
Yeah. If that had come out the month before Deadpool and Wolverine, it might have done a little bit better. Still supposedly a rubbish film, but I think it might have actually done better.
Let's face it. They are trying to cash in on names, aren't they? They were trying to cash in on Chris Rock, Kate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, Jack Black, and all they've done is make a substandard game film. And there's just no excuse for that now. Now, I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailers, and the trailers put me off, if I'm honest. They didn't. They didn't feel like Borderlands the game, or at least the versions that I've played. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. I've only played Borderlands 1 and 2. I've not played any of the others, but it didn't feel like that. It felt like they were just cashing in on the big names. And the really, 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 really big glowing problem for it that I can see, other than what you've brought up, which is they've tried to make it a summer blockbuster, we have a successful blueprint for how you make a game into at least a TV series. And that's Fallout on Prime.
Yeah.
They did an amazing job. They made a game TV series that felt like the game.
And that's the thing. You might not have seen The Last of Us. They did it too. They've literally taken the game and the things that people like about the game and put it into a TV show.
Well, yeah,
and they've aimed the TV show at the people that like the game, not some random
entity of public
that don't know, because they will like it anyway. If you make it like the game, you've already got an audience, guaranteed.
Yes.
And that in itself, if the game is good enough to warrant someone making a program about it, I think there's enough there already for it to stand on its own in as that. And other people will like it because of that.
And I think it's a really good point you've made, actually, with The Last of Us, because I saw all the screen captures people had done, film versus the game, and they'd literally got parts of the TV series that look exactly frame by frame to the game's cutscenes, except for the actor and the actress in it. And it's like, wow, that is a really clever and good thing to do. And I guess, actually, I'm surprised Fallout was as popular as it was, because at least with The Last of Us, you didn't need to be aware of the game, really, did you? With you didn't, The Last of Us, it was just a zombie film. It's a horror film.
Yeah.
And whether you know the game or not, it was good.
Yeah.
Fallout, I feel like you needed to know a little bit of the lore of the game.
I think you're right.
I mean, it explained enough of it at the beginning, so you could enjoy it without knowing what the game was. But I think it was more enjoyable having played the games first.
Yeah. So with The Last of Us, Miranda would sit there and she didn't ask me any questions other than, did that happen in the game? Because I think she might have watched me play The Last of Us parts of it. Mm-hmm. And there are some bits that, yeah, they made a lot of it look like the game and they just amazing, really good show. And they did change some stuff. That kind of thing doesn't bother me.
But sometimes you have to. You have to
because it's a TV show.
It's not a TV show versus a game, exactly.
Whereas with Fallout, I did get a few more questions. But because I was coming from a place of playing all of them, I knew all the little kind of bits that they probably felt they didn't have to say. And then Randa would ask me a few questions. But I don't think her not playing the game made any difference to not enjoying it. She loved Fallout. Absolutely loved it.
Okay, let me throw this one in, because I know you haven't watched, or I don't think you've watched it yet, Twisted Metal.
No, I've not watched it yet.
Now, out of the three things, Last of Us, Fallout and Twisted Metal, which of those three probably doesn't make sense to be a TV show?
Well, the thing is, it's obviously Twisted Metal. But Twisted Metal, I think they've just taken the IP.
Exactly. Because
it's not really, I don't remember there being a story when I played Twisted Metal.
No, there isn't. There was basically world apocalypse sort of thing, and it's all turned into kind of very much Road Warrior Mad Max-esque style things. Yeah. But even then, the TV series for Twisted Metal isn't bad. It's really quite enjoyable.
Mm.
So even they managed to do their own blueprint on something that really didn't have that much of a story. Now, Borderlands has no excuse, because from what I understand, the Borderlands game has quite a strong story to it. With it being kind of a big shooter-looter, it still has a story going on.
Yeah, I think, well, there's a podcast I've mentioned before, got Karen into it, Dungeons and Daddies.
Yes, yes.
The guy who DMs that, I think, was a writer for Borderlands 2.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Just as a slight aside. But yeah, there is a story to it. But what do people like about Borderlands? I think they do enjoy the story, but really, they like the guns.
100%.
And they like the kind of over-the-top wackiness of it. And by all accounts, none of that is in the film. They make no kind of thing about all these cool, wicked guns and stuff and all the bits that people actually liked. And the problem is, as well, I don't know anybody likes Claptrap.
No.
So it's like you've got an annoying character.
It's
in
one
the game.
Character that if they allowed you to team kill, that's the first one you'd walk up to and shoot.
I don't remember liking him at all. I mean, Rand and I played Borderlands so much, we started calling it Board of Lands.
Right,
because
okay.
We got that bored of it. So you might hear me slip into that occasionally. I'll call it.
No, that's
words.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Claptrap wound everyone up when we all played it.
And I would say I'm possibly in kind of the group that you are in then with Borderlands. As a game, it got boring quite quick.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense. It, as I say, it generally feels like a bit of a cash grab. It's, we've got the big names, let's just do it. I want to go and see it now, just to see what sort of car crash it is, but only because I've got that Cineworld pass.
Yeah, that's it. I would see it with Cineworld. If I had Cineworld, it's definitely a film that Miranda, myself and our friend Carrie, we were like our little three going to cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
We would have gone to see it. I'm disappointed I haven't seen Deadpool Wolverine, because every cameo has been ruined for me.
Oh,
I
no.
almost know the story, I think, and I've not searched for a thing. It's all been ruined by bloody Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, well,
he And I just want to, if you ever listen to this, Ryan, you can't say to people the day before the film comes out, please, everyone, don't spoil it. And then less than 2 weeks after you've released it, post every spoiler going over the course of 2 days on your Instagram, on your Facebook, on every single social media you've
literally
got.
Literally every social media, Threads,
everything.
Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
He did an Instagram post of every single cameo. And you're like, oh, thanks. It hasn't been out long enough. There's no, you can't, nowadays, you can't expect everyone who wants to see your film to have seen it in less than 2 weeks.
No.
Because no one else had spoiled it. Because you can get away with not finding spoilers by not going to fan places, being careful on Facebook. My Facebook, I don't look anything about Deadpool Wolverine, but it must be listening to me moaning, because every other one is about a character, another character, another character, something Ryan Reynolds has said about Deadpool Wolverine. So I've gone to have probably no surprises when I finally come to watch it in November when it goes to Disney Plus.
It will still be worth watching.
I still want to watch it. I'm just disappointed.
No,
and I've got to the point now where if I see it, I just look at it because I've seen everything.
I know, I understand that one fully. I did what I thought was amazingly to get away with knowing nothing about what was going to happen in the film. So seeing it on the day after release and just seeing all these cameos and just going, holy shit, this is just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by it. But I do feel horribly bad for you because I know how hard you have tried at avoiding it.
Yeah.
Talking about films then. And while we're at it, I guess, is cinema dead? That's a really big question I've just thrown at you without giving you
question.
Any clues.
But is it dead? No. I think it's changing. And mm-hmm. I think the way that they can help it change is, I don't know anything about the finances of filming, but I think certainly they should be able to make it a little bit cheaper at the cinema, have things maybe run a bit longer, or put things out to like bring other things back, like what they have been doing, those action films, bringing back old films. I would love to have seen some, like, you went to see like Phantom Menace, didn't you?
I didn't get a chance to go and see it in the end, but well, I was going to,
Demolition
yes.
Man at the cinema.
So,
you know, all these things come back. Like, that's a really good idea.
Cineworld seemed to be doing that, which I'm really loving at the moment, because once upon a time, and I'm talking about 20 years ago now, if not a lot longer,
mm-hmm.
in fact, probably a lot longer, because I remember being like early teens and being grumpy that my oldest brother was going to see these and I wasn't able to. Odeon used to run a midnight showing once a week, and it would be something like Terminator, RoboCop, mm-hmm. really old kind of action films. And you're right. If I were to say, hello, Cineworld, I'm here to help you kind of build your business back up, what would I do? I'd sign a deal with the devil, first of all. I would go over to the Netflix and go, hi, we're going to dedicate one screen to Netflix in every one of our cinemas.
Yep.
And that means all your Netflix originals that you want to put on a big screen, you can put on a big screen.
That's a good idea.
For Netflix members, they get a ticket for a fiver.
Yeah.
But everyone else pays normal price. And then that's that screen done.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means you then get the back catalogue of films that Netflix have.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix gets something like Demolition Man.
Yep.
That can go on the screen.
Yeah.
So you've got the Netflix screen first of all. Then I would look at the Cineworld Pass and I'd go, right, Cineworld Pass, make a parent Cineworld Pass. Whereas two parents can pay for one pass, both their names are on it, and that means when they take their kid, they're just paying for the kid.
A family pass.
A family pass. It can only be swapped between the adults, but that's it. And to be honest, they've taken one step closer to that, because family tickets now are one parent, one child, parent pays the child price.
Oh, cool.
It's really, really actually brilliant, because it means Jem and Kay have gone to the cinema a lot more. Not just because of the cinema tickets you've been given us, but because Cineworld's made it affordable for one parent and a child to go.
Yeah.
So that was a big step. I would look at reducing the price of all the food that they basically make their money on. And as crappy as it sounds, I'd potentially look at closing morning and early afternoon almost every day and just opening into the evenings, except for maybe a couple of days of the week where I would open mid-afternoon, let's say 12 o'clock onwards, and have specific types of showing. So maybe some parent-only showing. So, yeah, we know you've got a baby. Bring it. because the whole audience is going to be parents with babies. Yep. Because, you know what? They need to see films as well.
Yeah.
And you get looked at so horribly if you take a small child, even into a PG, that you want to see with another kid. You've got a baby in arms. It makes a noise. You get glared at.
Yeah.
So they need to kind of do something there. I mean, God, as a parent, I know I'm only thinking of these things as parents. How simple would it be for each cinema to buy a handful of things like soft toy, soft play blocks, little ball pit balls and stuff like that, and just put them down. Just like, yeah, your children can play at the front of the cinema while you sit back and watch the film.
That's a good idea too, yeah. Just taking some of that quiet stigma away from it, because you can still hear it.
100% you can.
And I think as well, really, I think what cinema's problem is going to be is getting young people to go. Because as we know, they've got the streaming stuff. They're probably not bothered about going. We're all locked in to that's the thing that we all did. We loved it. If 100%. You wanted to, you had to go to cinema or wait for 6 to 12 months for it to be appearing blockbusters, you know. Whereas now, I was looking at like Disney films. Some of them have taken as little as 30 days to go from cinema to thing.
Even shorter. There's ones that have been in the cinema for a week and then they're on Disney Plus ready for you to, pardon me, stream if you want to pay extra. Same on Amazon. And if they want cinema to survive, that needs to fucking stop. I know it happened because of COVID. Fully understand that. But it is no longer COVID.
I think Marvel cinema films are now 3 months.
I don't think it's even that. I think
it's like 60... Maybe it was even less. It's 67 days, I think, Ant-Man took to go from cinema to streaming.
Yeah, but the last Ant-Man was shit.
I haven't watched it.
I wouldn't. It will tarnish what you thought of the other Ant-Man films.
This is the problem I've got, though. I don't know. I'm so far behind. I don't know what I'm supposed to watch. I still haven't watched the third Guardians of the Galaxy film. But I just don't know what I'm supposed to have watched.
That you should watch. That is well worth watching.
Personally,
I think
what should I have watched before that? I don't even remember what I was at.
Just the first two. First two Guardians will do. And as long as you watched Endgame, sorted.
Yeah, I've watched those.
You're fine then. Just watch the third Guardians. You'll be happy.
All right.
But I'm just trying to think. There's nothing really else you can do. As you say, with the young people, you have to make it appeal to the influencer lifestyle.
I was about to say make a TikTok for any screening.
Well, you do. You need to make
allow
something.
People to look at their phones.
You need to make something that in this day and age allows them to not just look at the screen, but look at their phones as well, and not alienate them from what we were all brought up. Yes, it's a pain in the fucking ass.
I think the problem is, I know I'm saying, you know, two screening, looking at your phone. I think that will never happen because they don't want people to film.
No, that's true. But there is also ways around that now. And the technology is coming forward with things like specific lights that shine in such a way that cameras basically can't really focus and things like that.
Just blast the room with IR.
That needs to happen. Either that or just full stop. Get Apple and get Google on board. And your swords, because if they're on board, there is absolutely no way you're telling me that they're not going to be able to say, okay, well, just put this broadcast beacon in each screen, and when our phone software sees that broadcast beacon, the camera gets disabled.
Yeah.
Do that at every gig as well, by the way, because I'm so sick of standing behind someone who holds an iPad in front of me. It's like, watch the fucking gig. I don't want to watch your iPad. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So you've got to do that. You've got to stop the film factories and film firms kind of just saying, we're going to go straight to Prime if people want to watch it there at the same time, because no. That's just really hard, I think. I don't know if it can be saved. That's the problem. Like you say, young people don't really want to go. Films are way too quick into streaming, which means everyone's going to go there because it's cheaper. What do you do?
Yeah.
It's not like the old days where a film takes a year to come out on VHS.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Home Alone advertised in the cinema and then waiting a whole year to Christmas to get it on video because I really wanted to see that film. And even then, I didn't go to the cinema to see it. So you could say the problem has been around. It's just been solved by streaming. But honestly, I don't know. And I'm going to be really sad if it does collapse because I do love the cinema.
I think you'll still have things like the Everyman's and stuff like that around. The smaller sofas in the screens. There's a lot of them in London, and like I see them around Hampstead and stuff. These little screens just doing two films.
Well, yeah, like the Odyssey in St Albans.
Yeah, just like the Odyssey. Like
you've got a table service, nice comfortable sofas and chairs to sit in.
I think it would evolve into that.
I think you're right. I think it's going to end up like that. But yeah, whether or not that's the right thing, I don't know. Because obviously, I want to see a Hollywood blockbuster on a big film, on the big screen. I like seeing the old films on the big screen. Don't get me wrong. Seeing South Park on the big screen after 25 years blew my mind. But not seeing a Hollywood blockbuster that I really want to see. So I know you're having to wait for Deadpool. And I know this is a kick in the teeth for you. But I would feel really disappointed if I hadn't seen that on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I just, if that's taken away, that's going to be crushing. I don't like the idea that that could exist in the near future.
Did you know I'm only 4'1" tall? I guess Rob didn't. These two can go to hell for all I care. It's guess the headline time. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, fuck off.
Right, so this is meant to be guess the headline, a little quiz I'll come with. But Rob, you've just, going back to what we were just talking about, put it on the record, go on.
You just talked about seeing the trailer for Trap.
Which looks really good.
Really, the trailers look great. And it's M. Night Shyamalan, which means there's going to be some twists. And you were saying that they're showing the twist in the trailer. And I was saying that can't be the case. And I'm putting it on record now. I think the twist is going to be, so if anyone hasn't seen the trailer, it's, what's the guy's name? The actor?
Oh, I don't know the name of the actor.
Well, the actor's taking his daughter to some music thing, and there's like a serial killer, and it all very implies that he is the serial killer and he's been purposed, and the whole musical show is a trap and meant to catch him. I'm saying the twist is his daughter is actually the serial killer, and what you're seeing in the trailer is he knows his daughter's the serial killer and he's trying to protect her. That, I'm calling, is the twist.
Fine. Okay, you've heard that first, and if we're right, or if Rob's right, we'll address it after I've seen Trap. Okay, right. I have made a really stupid little quick game for you. It's called Guess the News Headline. And that's because while I was on holiday, I was reading the news, and this was one of the top headlines for the day.
I think quizzes on our podcast are top tier. I love it. I love the quizzes that you make.
So, did you ever watch Have I Got News For You?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how they used
still
to...
do.
They read the headline, and there's a blank space in it, and you've got to guess it.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it.
I've got three headlines for you then. Mum, lucky to be alive after swallowing blank while on Croatia holiday. So, mum, lucky to be alive after swallowing blank while on Croatia holiday.
Jellyfish.
Not a jellyfish. Really far away. Cold. Freezing cold.
Swallowing. It's not an animal.
It's not an animal at all. It's in her apartment. Or in the apartment they were staying at on holiday.
Dildo.
Weirdly close.
Okay, well, go on.
Closer anyway. Okay, so Amber Hunt, 38, was on holiday to Croatia visiting her in-laws with her husband Amir Devic, 41, and their two children aged 1 and 8. So I'm glad they didn't take a dildo on a family holiday. When the shocking incident happened on July 27th, 2024, Amber started getting ready for bed and began... Any other guesses?
Brushing her teeth.
Brushing her teeth. The mum of two was brushing the back of her mouth when the 20-centimetre toothbrush slipped out of her fingers and down her throat.
No, bollocks. She's practising deep throating with that toothbrush.
So yeah, that news headline was Mum, lucky to be alive after swallowing 20-centimetre toothbrush while on Croatia holiday. Panicked Amber tried to grab the toothbrush but was so unsuccessful, so her husband drove her to the county hospital, where she had an ultrasound on her stomach because medics initially didn't believe she had a toothbrush in her stomach.
All they could hear was,
Oh, dear. But yeah, and then there's just pictures of her, the pictures of the ultrasound with the toothbrush. And
is it an electric toothbrush?
It's not an electric. It's just a normal 20-centimetre long plastic toothbrush. And then I'm just looking at the comments here because I genuinely can't understand how...
Lucky for her, she was used to swallowing things that were 20 centimetres long. Was she brushing her lungs or something? How far back did she go with the toothbrush?
Okay, right. She's either practising her gag reflex or she was cleaning her tongue.
Clearly, her gag reflex has been desensitised and severely compromised. The gag reflex, also known as the pharyngeal reflex, is... Oh, my God. They've literally WhatsApped... Wikipedia'd that. Got some talent, this woman. Why is this making news?
Slow news day, yeah.
I'm always doing that with my Philips Sonicare Professional 3D electric brush. I've managed to clean a few up, but I've had to buy replacements for 6 now. So expensive, though. Okay, that was news article.
Just have a really fresh arsehole.
Oh, that's going to be sore coming out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, next question, next headline. I fell for bloke online. I only discovered he was... What on our first date? I fell for bloke online. I only discovered he was blank on our first date.
Oh, it's a dangerous one because I could say a woman, a dog.
No, it's not an animal. It genuinely was a man. And to be fair, the article says a loved up couple say they receive vile abuse, so they are loved up because of their whatever it was.
Okay, my brother.
Oh, you've just taken
it too
far.
No, because that's happened, hasn't it? Have you not seen those shows where they...
Yeah,
why,
I fell
they
in love
have
and
kids.
It turns out,
they
yeah.
They can't have kids, yeah.
So they fuck their kids? No, hang on. That's...
You know, I heard that.
Yeah, they don't fuck their kids.
No, they can't have kids.
Oh, can't have kids. Sorry. I saw, hang on a moment. That's, Jesus Christ.
You think I'm saying taking they this can't into a... fuck kids? Taking... I found out I was in a relationship with my brother when I found out we couldn't fuck kids.
No, I thought you said they could. It's like, hang on a moment. This has just gone taking a very dark fucking twist.
Rewind.
Right. No. Okay. Any more guesses?
No, I don't want to guess again.
I fell for bloke online. I only discovered he was 4 foot tall on our first date.
Oh, I had that in my head. He was going to be short.
So, yeah. Zakia and Rob, why I went for it? Met 5 years ago via Facebook, and their relationship blossomed as they spoke to each other on video chats. Got to be that.
You can only see the top of his head.
Don't be
it's
me.
Like talking to Dirty
You're
Kim.
Part of the problem.
She's talking to half of his head and he's talking to her groin because she's so tall.
Zakia discovered she towered over 4 foot 5 inches Rob. She's 5 foot six.
Well, that's it's not very
not
tall
exactly
itself,
towering.
Is it? Yeah.
Speaking on Love Don't Judge, she said he didn't have a profile picture and he was pushing this narrative
yeah,
that Rob was a
dude. He's got to one of those booths and the seat didn't go high enough up. So it's just a background. I spent the money on the photos. This is all I've got. I haven't got a camera on my phone.
Oh my God, you're being part of the problem here. You're being so horrible and they're saying that they're hitting out against the horrible people. And all I want to say is he obviously never walked along while doing video chats. Otherwise, why is he crotch height? Are you on your knees or something?
Why is he walking under the barriers?
Right, before we get in any more trouble, let's have the last one. Jesus. Sharks off Brazil coast. Something.
Fly.
Nope. Sharks off Brazil coast. Blank.
Swim.
Nope. Okay, I'll give you a bit more of it. Sharks off Brazil coast. Test.
Test their skills at bodyboarding.
No. Any more guesses before I just kill it?
They test shark nets.
Sharks of Brazil coast test positive for cocaine. The drug was found in all 13 wild Brazilian shark nose, tested with a concentration as much as 100 times higher than previously reported for other aquatic creatures. Which begs the question, why are we randomly testing aquatic creatures for cocaine use?
Why, you know, when they cross borders?
It's just like...
They get their bags swapped.
It's going to be a really shit episode of Border Patrol. And we're just going from Melbourne Airport to, oh, g'day, boys. We're at the coast of the beach now. And, we've got a shark here. And we're going to swab its arsehole. Hang on a moment.
Why its arsehole? Why?
Because that's all I can think of for a moment. And I'm not going to go near its mouth, lad.
just going to swab your gills.
Can you open wide, mate? Yeah, that's brilliant.
I'm afraid your bag's tested
positive. So, hang on. So now not only have we upset anyone that's short, we've also upset Australians with a terrible accent.
What are those fish that attach to sharks?
Oh, what, the cleaner fish?
Yeah, those
I
things.
Can't think of what they're called.
Yeah, they're swabbing those and going, oh, yeah, this positive, mate. Sorry, you're going to have to do a rectal exam in the other room. Come with me. No, you got come with me, Sharky.
So, no, what do you call it when, you know, you get inhale secondhand smoke and stuff like that?
Passive smoking.
Passive smoke. It's passive cocaine use.
Yeah, they've been passive snorting.
You bastard, you told me you'd given up. Now I'm in trouble. As he's buzzing off his tits. Shark searches.
Now, excuse me, mate. Have you got any red meat in your bag?
Hang on a minute. Aren't you a shark in disguise? Who told you?
Let's stop before we get in any more trouble.
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more work for a week or two, or something like that. What did you used to do on summer break?
Okay, if we haven't been cancelled by this point, I want to talk to you about the summer holidays, because it is the summer holidays for kids across the nation.
Yep.
And I just really fancied being nostalgic. What did you do as family holidays growing up?
A lot of the time when I was little, we went to the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
It was always the Isle of Wight. And then as we got older, we went to, I think it was, I always get the Menorca and Mallorca. I don't know if it's the same thing or what. I think it was Mallorca we went to a couple of times. And then we did go to Florida a few times too, as we are much older.
And was that the whole family or subset family?
It's always the four of us.
Pardon me, sorry.
And then when we were a lot older, I'd bring a girlfriend or a friend, and my sister would bring her boyfriend or a friend.
Oh, very progressive of your parents there.
Very progressive of my parents, yeah, considering some of the things they would say to me in my house. No hacky-packy in my house, Robert!
Oh, no.
My wife is the only person that my parents let me sleep in the same bed with in their house.
Oh, that never happened until... Yeah, literally, I got married.
And I'm trying to think, because... There's a lot of complications. Like, Miranda wasn't allowed to stay at my house, and that wasn't my parents' thing. That was her.
Right, mother. Fair enough, yeah.
I'm trying to think. And it was only... No, you know what? It was only because the times we were going on holiday. They were literally the only times that we could stay in the same room.
Fine,
and then, obviously, I then moved out, and then got engaged with me and married, and I never moved back in. So, actually, I think the only time my parents ever let me have a girlfriend in the same room as me was... when we were going on holiday the next day and there was no other options because there was no other beds.
My parents have never let me. I'm thinking now, my parents have never actually let me.
Mm.
So none of my previous girlfriends were allowed to stay the night with me in the same bed.
Doing anything anyway.
Basically, my old man's rules were, it's under my house, it's under my roof, it's my rules, separate beds. And me and Gemma never had the need to stay at my parents, so we've never found that one out. But yeah. I'm sure we would be allowed to share a bed now.
Oh, I'd love that now if something happened here and you had to go then like, no, Tom, you're on the sofa. You two aren't sleeping in the same room. My house, my rules.
Well, sadly, it would be separate beds because Jem would probably be with K and I would be T because of the limited bed situation.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
So even then we wouldn't get to. But literally just rewinding a little bit to what you were saying about, Robert, no hanky-panky.
Yeah.
I've only had that awkward conversation with one girlfriend's parents, and that was my first ever girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And her mum called us both into the living room,
mm-hmm,
and said, I know that you're both of that age, but in our house and at your age, there should be no heavy petting.
I love that phrase.
And we're just sat there going, we'll just go fucking afield, see ya.
Guy, I know we're talking about holidays, but I never had that conversation.
That's the only girlfriend's parent that has ever done that.
I think my first proper girlfriend's mum was a bit like that, but not, she wouldn't go hanky-panky. She would just straight up saying that I'd stay in the same room because they had a bunk bed and her older sister had already gone off to uni.
Right, okay.
And they had a small house. So it was either I was on the sofa in the living room or I was on the bed above or below wherever Fair. She was on. And obviously, you know.
Well. Anyway, summer holidays.
Summer holidays.
So for us, my dad never came on holiday with us. Obviously, we have a business in town, so dad never did. So it was always...
up to mum to take us on holiday. So that was normally me, my mum, my two brothers, and we'd go away with Nan and Grandpa. And we'd, throughout my entire young years, we went to Hunstanton or near or around Hunstanton, so Norfolk.
So your dad couldn't just close a shop for a weekend?
He could. He didn't.
Is it because he just didn't want to go on holiday?
Yeah, the shop was our
life. He liked earning money.
It wasn't about earning. The shop was our livelihood. The shop packed up for any reason, we would have no money. So yeah. I kind of understand where he came from that. He could have taken a week off. Looking back at it now, he could have. But it's just not the sort of man he was. And I don't bear any grudges or ill will towards that. I had a fantastic time with, as often my cousins would come with us as well. And we'd go to Hunstanton. And I've just got so many happy memories from those sorts of holidays. Which is why I wanted to talk to you about kind of holidays, especially when you're younger, because you do tend to do the UK holidays. Maybe not so much now with people, because being abroad is so much more accessible with EasyJet flights at £30, £40, £50 each and cheap hotels springing up everywhere. But us growing up, it was the UK. It was UK-based holidays. And I just wanted to pin to my, what were your favourite holiday memories, whether it was on summer holiday, so the proper holiday, or just summer holidays from school full stop? So stick with summer holidays for the moment. So you've got to the Isle of Wight. What were the sort of things that you just, as a kid, would be looking forward to for that week or 2 weeks you were away?
I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember too much. The ones I remember most fondly are when we went to America.
Right. Because
we started going when, because of family history, when we found out my mum had a half-sister.
Ooh.
Who had moved to America.
Okay.
Big family dramas. Yeah, the hidden sister that no one knew about.
Okay.
Granddad, you naughty boy. Granddad.
Oh, granddad.
Yeah, she found my aunt and uncle, and they kind of kept it a bit of a secret so they figure out what they were going to do, and then it all come out. And then, yeah, and then we would go and visit. As they kind of moved around America, we kept going to different places to visit them. And they eventually settled in Tampa. So it meant we would stay in Kissimmee and go to all the
Florida way, isn't it?
And we would spend a lot of time going to the theme parks and stuff. And
nice.
Stay. One point in time, they lived in this in Tennessee near Chattanooga. They had this I don't know what they call, like a shack, I'm not sure what it's shack, like a house in the woods.
Yeah,
I guess it's a shack, but it had this massive lake. They had their Ooh. Own lake. And when I'm talking about a lake, I'm talking like you can't really see the other end of it because it goes around trees. And so they're huge. Not Verulamian Park Lake, like
no,
10 times the size of that.
Lakes that basically have a horizon.
Yeah. And my uncle taught me to fish on it. I remember very fondly going to that place where he would take me out in his little rowboat and taught me how to fish.
Cabin,
that's the word.
The word, yeah. I'm sorry, it's that the cogs were whirring away. The little hamster that's dead is still going around in the wheel.
I think that's probably one of my most fond memories of holidays. I remember he went and took me to his neighbour. Neighbour. It's like me driving to you where that's the next door neighbour. That's how far it was to the next person. He had a catfish lake. Basically, he built a catfish pond, essentially, on his land. And the only time to really get the catfish was either super early or super late. And he took me down to get some. And we caught a couple. But I got covered in fleas. So when we got back to the cabin, my aunt had a right go at him for taking me.
Oopsie.
Because there's fucking bears and shit too in this forest. There's fucking, I don't know if there's wolves, but there's stuff. Snakes, everything. So she went nuts at him. And then I'm stood there with her and my mum with this glass of warm water with like fairy liquid in it, picking fleas off me. Because I was fucking covered in them.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But as a 12-year-old boy, that's the best thing in the world.
No, that's fair enough. Now, ours were a little bit less exciting than that, but all the more, I still just hold them so close to my heart. I haven't been back to Hunstanton for a fair few years now. And I remember I was doing a job up in Peterborough for a company called IT Builder when I was with them. So that was about, let's see, must have been about 2010, 2011.
Mm.
And Peterborough is not that far away from Norfolk. And I thought, well, I've already spent my day here. I was single at the time. I'm going to go to Hunstanton. It's the middle of summer. I thought I'd go to Hunstanton and sit on the beach wall, have a look at the beach, reminisce. And yeah, that's what I went and did. And I just got remarkably sad because I'd lost my granddad at that point, who used to take us and drive us there. And my Nan was actually okay at that point. It was a few years later she went downhill. But it was just sad being there and thinking, it's not going to be the same anymore. And getting there and literally walking around and seeing some things that I remember and then some things that I don't. But going back to kind of the happy time. So Hunstanton used to be this lovely little seaside town because you had this beautiful beach. It had the classic seaside chalets that we used to rent one every year. So when we went, and we used to go in the Easter holidays rather than some holidays because it was cheaper. And we'd have a seaside chalet that you could go to, and Nan and Grandad used to take a little gas heater to kind of boil up water and stuff. And we could run down to the beach, then run back there and rinse ourselves off and get warm and whatever else. And literally there would be stairs up the cliff behind the chalet, and you went straight up the stairs and there was a fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
And on that fish and chips, there was also a pitch and putt on the right hand side. So if you came up the stairs, on the right was pitch and putt, on the left was crazy golf, classic crazy golf, you know, that white kind of concrete one with green kind of felt put down. So, and all the little obstacles and the buildings and plastic things and all sorts of good stuff, and getting fish and chips and coming down and eating it on the beach. Oh, lots of fun. And then coming up those stairs again and walking forward, there'd be the main road that would kind of turn up around off into the distance, and over the road was the amusement arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to spend God knows how much time in there. And there's a picture of me, if I can find it, I'll put up on social media when this comes out, of me on what our entire family just refers to as 20p bikes now.
Right.
And they were three-wheel trikes, beautiful kind of glossy, not even glossy, metallic fleck paint on them, done up as like Harley Davidson's, and you could put 20p in it and it would just go. And you could put your foot on the pedal and you could drive it around their little kind of concrete yard bit they had. And there was like five or six bikes at a time. And those are kind of my fondest memories of that. And then getting older, we used to then, Nan and Grandpa got a little bit older, so obviously they didn't want to do the holiday. So we used to then go on holiday with my cousins. We did Whitby, we did the New Forest. And around that age, it was kind of putting money in the old 2p slot machines that do the pushers.
What are they called? They're not one-arm bandits, are they? Because they're the
no, they're the ones you... They're coin pushers. So you've got a shelf that the money lands on it. And you could spend hours in there. And luckily, Jem is a like-minded spirit. That's her favourite thing to do in those sort of arcades. Too, yeah. And T loves them. He found that out this holiday, watching him put the money in. And then he realised... He watched me at one point, because we had a few left and I had to go. And I piled them into the hole. And what I found is if you put your whole pressure on it and then just go with your thumb, you can really quick fire them. Mm-hmm. And bless him, he's learned how to do that as well. At one point, he just did it. It's like, oh, good lad, you've learned.
Yeah.
You've wasted £2, but you didn't win.
Yeah.
But Kay loved... So... It's been a big change. So over the past couple of years of doing those holidays with Kay, she'd want to play kind of the arcade machines that give tickets and anything else. Mm-hmm. And although that's still the case, the one machine that she was addicted to this year was the Monopoly machine. And the Monopoly machine is a 2p machine. And you put your 2p in and it rolls it along a running conveyor belt. And if it lands on a win line, it then plays Monopoly on the screen. You go around the board and then it spins a giant dice if you light up all four stations and tells you if you win the bonus tickets or if you win the jackpot number of tickets. Yeah. And she must have spent a good 20 quid in that machine. And it's just, it was so nice to see that those things still exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed almost all the 10p ones had gone, and there's no more 1p machines, but the 2p machines are still there.
When we were in Canada, on our way back to the last airport before we were coming home, it was kind of an afternoon flight, and we're like, what are we going to do? So on the way there, we found a huge soft play, massive nice. Soft play. And in it, so imagine like one of our soft plays, twice as big as that. But all the way around, it was a moat of arcade machines.
You see, but they do it.
Kid arcade machines with tickets.
Oh.
And T spent more time going around on all those arcade machines and playing like the hit. It was like sharks would come out and you'd hit them on the head, like a whack-a-mole. Like,
yeah.
He loved that one more than any. And then they had one just like that when we were in Greece. So as soon as he spotted that, because he was calling it the dinosaur zoo. Basically, it was a mini golf.
Yeah.
That was all dinosaurs. And I promised him we'd go, and I took him the next day. And they had a load of arcade stuff there, and they had a very similar one. He went straight to that and was like doing that there.
One of our favourite ones is there's a Knock Down the Clowns one.
Yeah.
And if you go to a good arcade, they normally give you put your pound in, which is ridiculous money.
That's a lot.
That's what these arcades are, though. Yeah. And if you've gone to a good arcade, you'll get about 7 or 8 balls dropped down. If you go to the crap arcades, they give you like 3 balls. And by the time you've thrown the 3, you've got to wait 30 seconds for the bloody balls to come and your time's up.
Yep.
That's our favourite one. And quite often, if you get around 500 points normally, that's when you get the bonus. And that's somewhere like 250 to 500 tickets, depending on what the machine's set at. They had a miniature version for small kids.
Oh,
and T saw it. He's like, I want to have a go at this. He half-heartedly threw the ball twice and then gave up and disappeared off. So I ended up having a go on it. And it's like, oh, this is really easy. Because it's like 2 foot in front of me trying to get these targets. A little gentle throws, knots them all down. And then I looked at the scoreboard. And it's just like, the maximum prizes you can get on this machine is 20 tickets. You've got to score 250 points. I got 1500 points. It's like, oh, yeah. this is really for small kids, isn't it? Okay, cool. When it comes to the seaside, though, have you taken T to the seaside properly?
Yes.
Have you done rock pooling?
No.
What sort of seaside?
He would love that.
This is one thing that when we went away this time, we really wanted to make sure the beach had everything. We wanted a soft sand beach, so that you can make sandcastles on that slightly wet sand that the sea's left by. Not that horrible dry sand that just falls to bits. You want the, when the tide goes out, you've got that lovely kind of modelling sand almost.
Yep.
Then we wanted someone that had got a few rock pools as well. And obviously Charmouth is a bonus because it's on the Jurassic Coast, so there's just fossils everywhere you can find. So that's the sort of seaside that we were looking for. That is, for me, that is the perfect holiday. Not abroad. I'd love to go abroad again.
Yeah.
But for me, for a family holiday, these were the things that I was looking at, and I loved every second of it. But moving away from just the summer holiday then, school holidays over those 6 weeks, what did you used to get up to?
I spent a lot of time with Mark, really, because he was only down the road, Chris Mark. So we would spend a lot of time together playing games. We'd go to the park, play football, a lot of time on our bikes. I remember distinctly one time he had all the really cool Jurassic Park toys and his dad had a video camera.
Those.
So we did stop frame animation films.
Oh, that's cool.
We did it wrong because the problem was, you know, we would go record off, but it wouldn't actually record, so a lot of the times we weren't getting all the things, and it'd be on little mini tape, so you'd have to put that into the bigger tape to then put it and actually watch it back.
You see, I remember those days. Me and Martin Ricks once did something similar, those parents had a video recorder that did the mini tape that you stuck into a big tape, and we set up a fake band, we had fake instruments, and we were doing Alfida Sane Pet, weirdly. As Martin loved Alfida Sane Pet at that time, so we just mucked around. And I remember we'd got this beer can that we were allowed to pretend with, and we shook it up and it just blew up and it just started spraying. Everyone's like, oh no!
I feel sorry for my boy, though, because he's not going to get that, because my wife and I both work every day. It's, you know, when it comes to summer holidays, we're trying to figure out whether we've got someone potentially lined up who's going to help us look after him on holiday. So I'm hoping he is going to get the holiday experience.
Awesome.
Just not with us. You know, I'm going to save all my holidays and try and take it all when it's his holidays. The same with Miranda. It might be that we take 2 weeks together, but then the rest of the year we save it all so that one person gets to spend a week with him and then the other parent gets to spend a week with him next time.
You see, we're really lucky because obviously Jem works in a school, so she gets the 6 weeks off. But yeah. I do feel terrible for that because her 6 weeks off
are 6 weeks of basically childcare now. Yeah. So I've tried to take a few days off here and there, and then obviously we had the week off for the holiday, but there's very little I can do. I know exactly how you feel on that one. I mean, how we work it, because Christmas is definitely my thing, but more of a family time. I take 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
And the way it works over Christmas, actually, that only works out like 6 days holiday taken. But I will take off the entire time from when Kay finishes school through to the 3rd or 4th of January.
Yeah.
Because then I'm completely about for all of it. And there's just a lot more magic. Well, the summer holidays, Jem's really good at organising play dates and going to see people and just anything like that. So I do feel terrible for not helping out more. But as she said, you have a job. You can't just drop everything. Yeah. So we do what we can. So I know your pain on that one, because I would love to be out there every day over this 6 weeks, especially with T growing up and seeing him learning all these things. That's not saying I don't want to be with Kay as well, because obviously I do, but I can do things with her when he's in bed. So I can take her ice skating at Jarman Park, or I can take her to the cinema, which I can't do with him. So we have our own things to do, whereas during the day is when I can see him doing things. So it's really hard to juggle.
I feel like it's just something that's just happening now. I feel like back when we were younger, it was much more common to have one of the parents not working.
100%. My mum would be home for the most of that.
I didn't know anybody whose mum worked. My mum worked, but not like a super. She worked for herself, cleaning and ironing and doing things for people. But then when it came to the summer holidays, she really cut it down. Every now and again, I'd have to jump in the car with her as she went and picked ironing up for somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm sure my memory is doing me a disservice. So mum would have been working at the shop a lot as well.
Mm.
But all my memory remembers is doing things, going to friends' houses. And obviously that's because mum was working.
Yeah.
Or going to the cinema. Or one of my favourite things and favourite memories is she used to take me to Watford. Mm-hmm. We used to just get the 321 bus, the old really stinky diesel bus of the era. And I can even I can feel right now the scratchy...
Wouldn't it have been the 724 to Watford? 321 to town, 724
321 went to Watford as well. 321 went all the way from Rickmansworth to Luton and Luton to back to Rickmansworth.
I just can't remember getting the three. This is really niche.
The 724 also went to Watford.
That's why
you
I did
could
it.
Do either.
I'd go 321 to town and then jump on the 724.
Yeah, so the 724 did go to Watford as well. But no, we used to get the 321 to Watford. I can even feel kind of, I remember it as well. The seats had this brown leather at the top. They had a chrome kind of style handle on mm-hmm. them. And then the material was orange, black and brown checks, basically. Mm-hmm. And I can even feel and smell that. But we used to get on the bus to Watford and we'd spend the day walking around, going in shops. We'd then go into Littlewoods for lunch because yep. Littlewoods had a restaurant. And it was always something like roast turkey and it was always heavily salted. Delicious. And then we were always allowed to buy a toy or something. And then we'd come home, and 9 times out of 10, the 321 being the bus service it was back then, it would break down just before Garston, and we'd have to get off and wait for another 321 to come along.
Yeah.
But even then, things like, I remember getting Red Dwarf on VHS mm-hmm. from the W.H. Smiths over the summer holidays, and that was the one where the series where they lose Red Dwarf, so it had... Gunman of the whatever it was, and the one where they think they're in the video game, the Despair Squid, and all of that.
Oh, yeah, the Despair Squid. That's a very good
episode.
That's
a great episode. I got that on VHS. I got Short Circuit 2 on VHS one mm-hmm. summer. I remember one summer, weirdly, Mum picked these up. Magic Eye poster that was dinosaurs. And I don't know what made... She just said, it's really pretty, and I want to see if we can do it. And she bought this Magic Eye poster, and we spent the afternoon trying to do it. So cool. It's really fun memories of kind of that. And you're right. One parent seemed to stay home more.
Yeah.
And that's what my memories are. But before we get to the end of this, because I'm realising this is running over what I expected it to, I'm going to be a really old man now.
Mm-hmm.
back in my day.
Like, this whole podcast is us being old men.
Yeah, no, this is really old man, though. And I noticed this since I used to do the ambulance work as well. And the first time I noticed this was the ambulance work. Driving around Barnet and Enfield, kind of Chase Farm hospital area,
There's
this big common, and it had snowed one day. So this isn't summer, but we're going to come to summer in a moment. And it was, it was knee-deep snow. And I was driving around that area from about 7 in the morning to 5 in the evening. There were no schools open that day.
Yep.
And that field stayed immaculate in the middle of a heavily populated area.
Yeah.
Okay. And I got really sad by that. I thought, if that was even us at the age of 18, 19 working the hammers, it snowed, we closed the pub early, we drew a giant penis on the football pitch of Greenwood Park.
We went to the park. Yeah.
And it was brilliant. And I just realised kids don't do that now. And then I was driving, where were we driving to? I was driving in central London to set up a new office for work.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove past park after park in the Enfield area. Empty, driving back, middle of the afternoon, kind of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. All the parks still empty. And I was thinking, that's ridiculous. Over the summer holiday, I would have spent days in the park. I would have gone to Ramish. Mum would have given me a couple of pounds, or I would have gone to town and would have gone into Woolworths, and we would have got cheap cans of drink or bottles of Panda piss. We would have got some sweeties or pick and mix, and we would have gone and played football in the park, frisbee in the park. We would have run around the woods. We had Sega lock-ons to play with. And now, just seeing these parks in the middle of summer, and there are no kids playing, and it's just really depressing.
That must be an Enfield thing, because all the ones in Hemel, other than my very small local one, they're rammed with kids all the time now. Like the gay,
that's a bit more promising then.
And Greenwood, every time I drive past Greenwood, that is chocked full.
As I've got, again, huge, happy family kind of memories of Greenwood Park. Growing up, running around there with my best mate, doing model rockets there in the summer holidays.
You know what we need to do? I need to take you there. We can have to do it at night. And I need to put you on the deadly slide.
Oh, the death slide.
The death slide.
Yeah, I've refused to go on it so far. Kay went down it.
Oh, you've been and you've seen it.
Kay went down it.
Did she fall off it?
No. She went down it and she quite enjoyed it, but she didn't go down it that often.
Can I just say, like, there were a few things on Facebook about this slide.
Yeah, and I laughed them off.
We're all a bit like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. We all went on it and I nearly went off. My old man went down it. He said, I'm not doing that again.
Well, the thing is it's lethal. It's a 45 degree slope on it, if not higher.
That goes left, right, left, right, left, right. Yeah,
left,
like a
right,
snake.
Really quickly. And to get it, you've got to climb. It's not accessible. So T can't go on that. He can't get to the top of that on his own.
I had to go up there with my boy.
Yeah.
Because the girls were going up. So he was like, I'm going up too. Every time he got to the top, shat himself.
Exactly.
So I had to go down it with him. I did it twice. I went, dude, I can't go on this again. I'm too big. This is actually physically hurting me. And he did it twice on his own. The fear in his face the first time. But when he got off the other end, it suddenly changes. Like, the adrenaline must have gotten because he ran straight back up and did it again.
So, yeah. So the original slide there, the slide that we all grew up with, was just a metal slide. You ran up to the top of the hill, you got on it, you slid down, and it was a long slide. It was good. This new one, you get up to the top of the hill, you then climb 5 or 6 foot up onto a platform, and then you're going down the same length down to the bottom of the hill, but at an even steeper incline on something that's slippier than soap on fucking hardwood floor.
Right. So they got rid of the old one because they said it was dangerous.
Dangerous.
Now, I can tell you why it might be dangerous, because we used to go down it on our bikes.
Yeah, or on the sledges.
On the sledges. And I bet people use their skateboards too. I bet they did.
And to be fair, in a day like the day we had Monday with 31, 32 degrees, I bet there were kids that have sat on that and come away with skin peeled off
and
them.
Burnt, yeah.
Because it is dangerous. I'm not going to lie.
Was,
but this is lethal.
Now, as a person that works on building sites, I hear the term all the time about health and safety gone mad as a very common phrase still.
Yes.
It's like building sites have got safer, parks have got less safe. I see some of these climbing frames the kids have got. There's like a big pyramid thing of just rope there.
That scares me.
The crowd. Whenever T goes anywhere near, I'm like, you're not going on that.
K climbs to the top within seconds. No. And I'm just thinking, if you slip, you're just going to snap your neck.
My eldest niece just flies up and I'm like, dude. And my sister's there like having heart palpitations. Dan is just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Me and my sister are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I hate it.
And we're not helicopter parents either. We're just climbing like, this cube. Is terrifying.
The climbing cube in there. Who the fuck came up with that? It's literally, you climb 6 foot high and there's concrete below you.
Yes, concrete.
And it's slippery.
It's yeah, exactly.
It's not even got any grip when you get to the top. It's just slippery.
Have you seen the one at Gatebridge? The big wooden frame?
No, I've not seen that one.
Imagine a really cool...
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah, so imagine like... to Takeshi's Castle, right? But for kids, 7 foot in the air with just nothing to protect you.
No guardrails, nothing like that. Just run and hope.
So you just imagine that. Takeshi's Castle, 7 foot in the air.
We put some bark chips down, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at that and think, I wouldn't go up there.
Your arm always looked like that.
You see that on those SAS programs. I'm not getting up there.
I don't know why I keep coming back, the abuse I put up with. Anyway, these two plums are done for another episode. Wait, has that fucking chipmunk been in my sound booth again? I'm this close to quitting, just watch me. Keep pushing and you'll find out.
You got a lot to cut.
Oh, definitely. Anyway, right, thank you very much to everyone that listens. It's always a pleasure to do this show for you. If you would like to be on the Dr. Phantasm segment and have your dream diagnosed by a random machine, please send it on to us. You can send that to podcasts@channel84.co.uk, or if you want to email Rob or I directly, you can do rob@channel84.co.uk or tj@channel84.co.uk. All our social media, etc., etc., can be found on channel84.co.uk under the Variety Show podcast page, because yes, we are part of the Studio Channel 84 network. That is a small indie network of podcasts that include Who Takes the Socks Off, Untitled Trek Show, and Lightly Used. Listen to all of us, listen to none of us, whatever it is, but head over to channel84.co.uk and you can find out all about the channel's shows there. You can also find on there a way to Discord, and that's through channel84.co.uk/Discord. That will take you through to our server. We don't do much on there at the moment, but we do venture onto it, and there are conversations ongoing. If you would like to take part in the Untitled Trek Show, which is the other show that was developed alongside the Variety Show, then contact Rob and he will let you know what you can do. Now, at the moment, we're just looking for ideas. We're not looking for voices, but ideas are always very welcome. And the same goes for the Variety Show podcast. If you've got an idea for this show, email tj@channel84.co.uk, as I'm very, very open to hearing from you and doing what you tell me to. In some butchered way. Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always. And if we get cancelled because of what you said about short people, so be it.
Or Australians.
Or Australians. I'm not so worried about the Australians.
But the five people.
Exactly. We've got five Australian listeners. It's not like I brought up the Crocodile Hunter or anything.
No. Mm. Is this the end of the podcast?
This is the end of the podcast. For now. Until 2 weeks' time.
You're looking at my face. Ooh. What segment of the show have you forgotten?
Ah, well done, Rob. Completed a challenge in record time. Using my wording to your advantage, though. Not sure how I feel about that one. Guess I'll have to think harder for the next one. May the odds never be in your favour.
Oh, fuck off. What have you been fitting in? Oh, you cunt. Oh, what word have you been saying?
Squirrel gave me a task.
The chipmunk.
Chipmunk, that was it.
Oh, she's going to be pissed off with you now. You called her
yeah,
a squirrel.
Sorry, chipmunk. She likes me, though.
Oh, fuck's
sake.
Especially
now that I've passed it.
Oh, I'm really unimpressed. What was the word?
I had to go from 5 to 0 and say blast off.
Oh, come on. That's impossible for me to have got. Oh, come. Right.
You get an easy one like that.
I did, to be fair. I thought to myself, I think I could do that pretty easily. I haven't got to say hedgehog five times, whatever it was.
Yeah,
that you said.
I had to get in hedgehog five times. Hedgehog. You just have to say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to a bloke that talks about space nonstop and monkey films. Fuck you.
That was The Variety Show. Thank you for listening. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks' time. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.